Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Well then, good Sunday morning. It's ESPN 1000, Xander and Hanley. Boy, we've got a lot to talk about. Jesse Rogers will join us at 11 a.m. We're here till 12:30. Then we're up against the pregame show. Tyler Aki will be on the pregame. Connor McKnight on the play-by-play with DJ today as the White Sox try to take the series. Well, not sweep it, certainly, but we need to win another one against the Rangers. And, Brian, yesterday we heard some chants from the crowd. They speak their mind. They speak from the heart. Were you surprised?
No. As we were signing off yesterday, I said maybe Tony will give us something to talk about again today, but it wasn't Tony.
It involves Tony, but it wasn't actually Tony.
It's actually right. I mean, and I get their frustration, and we've felt it with our callers over the last few weeks and yesterday and too. But it wasn't a ridiculous move that he was going to be defensive about. I mean, you have a 5-run lead. You have a 7-4 lead. It was like 3 games in 1, Mark. I mean, it was
everything you wish a movie was. Lots of twists and turns and exciting and not exciting at the end to Sox fans, but yes.
Yeah, and you're not begging for a sequel after the 10th inning.
No.
I mean, you get 12 hits in the first 5 innings, and then in innings 6, 7, 8, and 9, you have 11 strikeouts.
And we've been complaining about the offense for obvious reasons, right? We haven't had any. So we have some in the past 2 days. And what happens? The pitching fails. And there is a turning point that I want to get to that has everything to do with the Twitter poll that I instructed Jake to put up today. And we will get to that. I've got to mention driving in on the Kennedy today. I'm driving, and all of a sudden, I'm in the left lane, just cruising. All of a sudden, I come up on this late model Escort, a white one, with bullhorns affixed permanently to the hood.
Is it Benny?
And I looked at the plates. I thought, okay, somebody's from Texas. No, it's an Illinois car, plates. Uh-huh. And there was a millennial driving it. And I thought, is this an omen to be bullish on the White Sox today and for the rest of the season?
Well, the Rangers aren't the Yankees. Let's make that distinction. They
are a mediocre team. They're right around where the White Sox are performing.
Well, they're 4 or 5 under 500. So basically they're in the White Sox neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So it's one thing for the Yankees to, the best team in baseball, to do what they did to the Cubs and Matt Schwarmer in particular last night. But see, these teams, they ain't the Dodgers, okay? So if Tony has a brain cramp or a brain fog against the Dodgers, the Dodgers still can beat you no matter if the manager's making the right.
They don't need anybody to have brain fog. They can just do it on their own.
Right. Yes. The Rangers, on the other hand,
they need that help.
You're up 5-0 against that team. I don't know what the win probability was at that point, but it's got to be 98%. If you're betting in game, you put a few bucks on the Rangers, you did pretty well for yourself at that point. But you had 2 leads, okay? So even when they get close, you extend the lead to 7-4. You got to put that team away. You just have to. And that, as much as the pitching, didn't help you yesterday, the first 5 innings, you could hit everything and anything, and then you're striking out every other batter, every other at-bat in the last 4 innings before the 10th. It's just bizarre how this thing plays out, but that's why the White Sox are 6-back and looking up.
And in New York, we saw the Yankees handle the Cubs pretty well. 6 solo home runs. I'm watching the highlights, right? And I keep thinking, I'm like, why is this? They're all solo home runs. And obviously highlights are truncated. And I've made it very obvious that I do not have Marquee Network. So if I'm watching the Cubs, it's on highlights or on SportsCenter or whatever. And it just kept going and going and going. And then, obviously, Rizzo paid back his old team by hitting one in the right field porch.
Well, look, this game will humble you, especially when you're in your first year, Matt Schwarmer. I mean, a week ago yesterday, we were sitting there saying, hey, who was more impressive in that doubleheader? Caleb Killian, who's the hot prospect everyone was waiting to see, or Matt Schwarmer? His first 2 starts, quality starts, no one can hit a slider. And we talked about it. He better develop that changeup quickly, because the Yankees apparently watch video.
And that was real time advice, because that's what they did. They jumped all over him.
That's historic. Schwarmer, six solo home runs. They had seven hits, six solo home runs, and one RBI single to call it a night. Yeah. I mean, it just no Cubs pitcher had given up that many home runs in the modern era. Tom Lee back in 1884.
Tom Lee,
card.
You watched him live, right?
Yeah, I have his baseball card. I think he signed it for me. I mean, but that this game will humble you. So we'll get to the Cubs, but you know, the Cubs, no expectations. You're playing the best team in baseball. You get your rear end handed to you because,
and you see an old friend.
Yeah. And you get to see an old friend and who had thoughts on the Cubs too. So we had lots of time to go over it all, but the White Sox, you know, Tony took the heat last night, but it was Giolito cruising till he wasn't. It was the offense doing what it was supposed to do until it didn't.
And they did their job. And then unfortunately, we see Yasmani Grandal finally catch a gear. And what happens?
Catch a hammy.
Is Cyanis involved in some kind of hex on the South Side now? The Cyanis family?
the old Billy Goat. I think.
Yeah. Is there another animal that they're running through there, trying to get in? And they said no. And they said, "I hex you."
Well, speaking about jackasses or donkeys, Joan Mercado. We'll get to him.
Nice segue. Yeah. And I saw somebody on Twitter. Well, a couple things on Twitter that I want to point out. I saw somebody yesterday after the loss. And this is all they said on Twitter. Have no idea who it was. They said Hawk Harrelson was right.
For lunch, which of course, in the 80s.
Which of course was a reference of firing Tony in the 80s.
Yeah, and our buddy Paul Sullivan in his column today in the Trib referenced, you know, Tony getting booed and fired, you know, Tony Chance back when he lifted Ken Kravick in the 80s. So,
history repeats itself. You mean this?
Then the Rangers added 1 in the 6th, 2 in the 7th, and now 2 here in the 10th. And they have a lead late.
Does it sound like either Jason or Steve are clapping along with that chant?
No, it's me.
Oh, that was you. Okay, yeah.
I don't think Jason or Steve.
I was going to, no, I would, seriously, you caught me by surprise. Yeah. I thought, wait a minute, is that then? Yes, of course. And I should have been clapping too. But the point is, I counted it, Brian, 10 seconds, 10 to 12 seconds that Jason and Steve shut up to let everybody hear that.
Because now, it was 20 seconds of fire Tony.
Yes, and I thought it was very interesting how they just backed out and let that audio breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Let it breathe.
Let it breathe. Again, it wasn't Tony, you know, Tony didn't do anything, and he actually did the right thing. He put Lori Garcia in the 8th spot, and he actually came up, he was 3 for his first
But don't you even let him go that easy.
No.
I've got a real problem. I've got a real problem with him, and thank God he decided to hit, and he crossed the plate 3 times. That's great. But if you noticed what happened with him at the top of the 7th inning, mm-hmm. when Calhoun came up, hit one over the head of Vaughn got the ball into his cutoff man. Guess what? Leury dropped a simple cutoff throw. And caused Calhoun to take 3rd, which meant the next batter up, and I can't remember who it was, skied out to Vaughn, and Calhoun tagged up, and that made it 7-7. That was the tying run. Mm-hmm. Now, if Leury did not do that, would have held him to 2nd, that fly ball, he's not taking off from 2nd to 3rd on Andrew Vaughn. Calhoun's not a runner.
Right.
And chances are they get out of that inning with the lead.
Right. Now, it doesn't mean they wouldn't give it up.
The turning point. Right, that was the turning point.
Absolutely. And so, you know, with Lurie, you better find something to like about him because he's here for another 2.5 years since he signed the contract in December. I don't know. You know, you could really have a debate, which is the money that's least well spent. His $5.5 million a year, he's getting 16.5 guaranteed over the life of a contract, which, you know, pales in comparison to what Moncada's banking. But, you know, we went over Moncada's contract yesterday. It's 17 million. It goes up to 20, then 24, and then 25. Right. I mean, hell.
You know, I saw somebody, I follow Steve Stone on Twitter, and somebody said, a couple mentions, somebody said, do you want to talk about, do you have any comments on Tony La Russa and blah, blah, blah? And Steve just said no. Yep. Which, okay, you can take that any way you want. Mm-hmm. But then also somebody said, hey, Steve, would you please tell everybody that Yoan Moncada had an oblique injury and he's still healing from that? Because there is a like anything on Twitter, right, on social media, you have apologists for somebody. Then you have people that are not so much apologists. And there is a faction of people that are thinking that Yoan is still the second coming, and he just hasn't arrived yet.
Well, you know, it's disconcerting, though, when you talk about that oblique.
Yep.
Yoan's still talking about the oblique. And you know, his 133 batting average and no home runs since May 14th. You'd hope for more for $17 million a year.
No doubt, no doubt.
0-for-5 last night in 3 Ks. He's still talking about trying to get his rhythm, and he said it's very complicated because you're trying to do your best, but trying to be cautious with your effort. You don't want the injury to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not near 100%, he's not helping you. Do something with him. I say
put him on the IL.
Absolutely.
You know, as soon as TA gets back, if not sooner, put him on the IL. And we're going to get to the Twitter poll, and it involves Leori. Let's get to a couple phone calls. And by the way, Jesse moved up to 10:30, so we'll be talking to Jesse Rogers at 10:30 here on ESPN 1000. Here's Larry on the South Side. What up, Larry?
I think is that seventh inning yesterday was very disturbing to me. I want to know, why, when did D'Souza become his high leverage guy?
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, I want to know where is Bummer? I mean, this is second time he brought him in. Musty took him out of the yard, a 3-run homer against that egregious game where he walked somebody 1-2 count.
Hey, Larry, wasn't Bummer used the day before? You know how Tony is. He doesn't use anybody day to day.
Every time they say something about something available, kind of roll my eyes at that.
Oh, I know.
I mean, come on, stop saying that. These guys are getting paid gazillions of dollars.
Yeah, figure it out. Play.
Right. And so, consequently, you give up that game 7-5, that seventh inning, and all of a sudden it's tied up again. Where is Bummer? I don't know what this manager is doing. I don't know if he's sabotaging the team on purpose or what. I don't know.
Well, you know, thank you, Larry. Bummer isn't necessarily the answer. He has not been dominant like he has been in the past. But, I mean, Bummer, Sousa. Okay, let's go with Bummer. I mean, that's as far as I'm concerned, Brian.
Yeah, and Mark, but Tony did say he used the pitchers available, and he was down to, what, five, right?
But that begs the question, is Tony too soft on the pitchers as far as using them day-to-day? He'll use Hendricks 3 days in a row if he needs to. Obviously, Hendricks has a lighter load because he comes
sure,
in to shut out
guy, yeah.
three. Right. But, you know, to see Lambert and Crick, I don't think so. Here's Owen he's in Willowbrook. Hey, Owen, you're on with Hanley and Xander here on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. I really like the show.
Thank you.
Tell it like it is. And
we try.
I really like Howard Cosell, you tell it like it is. The thing they forgot to chant was they forgot to include Han in that. Think about what Han has done to this team as far as going out and evaluating talent. You know, you get guys that break down, that get hurt, guys that don't perform. And I agree with you. If Mankata's hurt, don't be playing.
Yeah.
He should be on. He should be on the list. And then the other guy that's been given a pass, and he's really only had one real great half a year, is Giolito. Giolito at best is a 3 at best. The guy lives on his changeup, and people just sit on it. And I guarantee you, he's going to give up a big home run sometime during a game. And at some point, when the Sox went out and said, you know what, you guys be patient, we're going to go out and spend money, and we're going to build up this team where we're going to be competing every year. So what do? They go out and sign Harrison this year. They had a chance to get Adam Frazier. They had a chance to maybe look at Bryant. And for all the 5 years of waiting for them to do something, they sign Harrison, who doesn't even play the position he's supposed to be signed for. This guy is a mess. But the only good thing going for Han is he works for Reinsdorf, who fires nobody.
Thank you, Owen. I appreciate it. And Owen may not agree with, he'll see the Twitter poll and we'll see if he wants to jump in on that. But the point that he's making is that we should have done better in signing a second baseman. Okay.
Where's the big left-handed bat?
Agreed. A big left-handed bat. Leury's a left-handed bat. That's not a big bat by any means.
Nope.
We thought we had a big left-handed bat in switch-hitting Moncada. That hasn't been the case. Jake Berger leads the team. Could you have said this and really believed this time last year, that Jake Berger would lead the team in home runs?
Okay, and as good as that is for Jake Berger, and you're
that's
you appreciate,
bad for everybody else who plays
that's
every
exactly
day.
Right. You're going... If he's the guy who's saving your bacon when you're actually winning, then you got big issues. Because, I mean, that should be an added bonus. That should be just, you know, wow, thank God, you know, we got another guy coming up contributing.
Right.
But that tells you, and we talked about yesterday, you know, you can, you know, beat up Tony and his decisions, and he's giving you plenty of reason to do so.
But he's not playing the game, Brian.
If your big guns aren't your big guns, and we'll get to Giolito's numbers last three starts, too. There's a lot here, and I'm sure people want to talk about it. 312-332-3776.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Grandal injury. We'll let you know what the Twitter poll is. Jesse Rogers joins us at 10:30. Jump on in. 312-332-3776. It's Xander and Hanley on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
It's a bad, bad pattern that I've gotten into over the last few starts. I've always prided myself on getting stronger as the game goes on over the last few years of my career. Felt like that was always something that I could count on, getting the rhythm going, especially if the offense is doing their thing and putting me into a more comfortable position with a big lead. But today again, going out there for the fifth and just, you know, not executing. You know, two base hits lead off the inning, big home run. It just swings the momentum to their side. You know, I left the game still with the lead, but, you know, it was a 5-run lead that turned into one very quick.
And that is Lucas Giolito post-game yesterday. He's right about that, Brian. He has, over the past few years, been that pitcher that got stronger as the game went on. And that was his, you know, his superpower as far as a starting pitcher goes. And that's not been the case last few starts especially.
No, and our caller Owen is right. You know, the home runs have killed him. And so the last three starts, he alluded to the last three starts, after doing a really good job against, was it Tampa? Last three starts, he's allowed 12 earned runs in 15 and two-thirds innings pitched. It's bizarre because he has 19 strikeouts in that time and only 7 walks. However, 5 home runs. Mm-hmm. So Owen said the home run is going to come and bite him, and it has the last three starts. Last night, you know, he 81 pitches on 53 for strikes. So he's right. I mean, you talk about being comfortable. They stake you to a 5-run lead, and how often does the White Sox do that for any starter? And you should be able, I mean, those aren't high leverage pitches, and you created your own situation. And next thing you know, it's 7-4 and then 7-7, and then you're losing in the 10th inning because you can't do anything in the late innings with the at-bats, and half your bullpen isn't available.
And the bullpen gave up 7.
Sure.
So that's the bigger story. I know Lucas did not dominate like he usually does. And I think it was Owen that said he's our number three. Well, I look, what do numbers, once the season starts, it doesn't really matter. Is Kopech a stronger pitcher? That last outing was really nice. The last outing for Dylan Cease, not so much. So we have our struggles there. But the bullpen was really, you know, starting off with that issue with Leury, that bullpen was really, really soft because people weren't available. So
what do you do today with Kopech? Because they're kind of watching the pitch counts because he's transitioning back to being a starter.
I think that they've taken those training wheels off.
They have to today.
Well,
I
thought they did last start.
I know, but I mean, you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You need to let him go as far as he can go and knowing how well he's pitched this season.
And another thing, too, I'm so tired of seeing pitchers overprotect. And now I know, look, coming to, you know, a starter from a bullpen, I get that. But how do pitchers learn how to survive tough innings if you just get pulled?
Yeah.
as soon as things start going wrong. How do pitchers survive?
You don't have the luxury today.
No, we don't. We don't because nobody seems to be available.
And you need to win this game. And you know, the best thing that's happening to Tony La Russa and the White Sox is they're going on the road because, one, they can't win at home. They're actually, you know, they're, what, four games under?
Yeah.
And it's because they're four games under. They're squarely even on the road. And you have to have a winning record at home, and they're three or four back of that. They're three games under, and they're three games under at home.
And no wonder you're hearing.
And the Rangers added one in the sixth, two in the seventh, and now two here in the tenth. And they have a lead late.
There we go. Here, I'll add it. Okay. See, that is why you're hearing that on the south side, because our record is
beer
horrible.
Man. I need a couple over here.
Yeah. Two beer men.
Yeah.
You know, seeing those beer guys walking around, now they have to deal with taking credit cards and having their little calculator thing.
Apple Pay.
Apple Pay. And I just remember the good old days where they would just walk around with that wad of cash in their left hand.
Yep, the big wad of bills.
Right. And just, you know what, and passing down the money and the change and everything.
Oh, everyone, yeah.
Now you need all this other equipment.
Nowadays, someone might pocket some of that change. You know, it's inflation and all.
Yeah. They get their commission. They get their commission for handing the beer and the change down the line. They take 10% off the top. All right, so our ESPN 1000 Twitter poll today. This is me. You can hear me in this because I am just
frustrated,
a little frustrated. As a Southside fan. Once Tim Anderson comes back healthy and you had your choices, GM, who would you DFA? Josh Harrison, Leury Garcia, and then Jake, tempering my mojo here. He put other, don't move them. And we want you to chime in, or if you want to call in. And I will tell you, after we talk to Jesse Rogers, I will tell you exactly why I have come up with my answer on that Twitter poll. And, Brian, if you want to weigh in as well. We've got Jesse up at 10:30. Getting to the phones, taking your calls, 312-332-3776. Ethan in Deerfield, welcome in on a Sunday morning. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me. I've been listening for a little bit now. I just wanted to say that, you know, I feel like a lot of people crediting Tony for taking blame to the media yesterday in response to his bullpen management with the response of those were the guys that were available. I don't know if that necessarily cuts it just because he's the guy that's managing the bullpen.
And he's the guy that decides who's available and who's not.
Exactly.
Yep.
So, you know, whether it's being soft on the arms or it's he mismanaged the day before or in the weeks past, whatever he's doing to manage that bullpen right now, he's blowing two games where you're up 4-0 and then 5-0. That's completely unacceptable, especially for a team that hasn't been winning.
Yep. Thank you, Ethan. Appreciate it. Yeah, look, Giolito needed to go deeper in the game. We need to see our starting pitchers, as far as I'm concerned, get into the seventh. And
absolutely,
Dylan didn't the day before, you know, in his last start.
Because he had a 45-pitch fifth inning, right?
And that's a whole different problem. Giolito not getting stronger as he has in the past during his start, during the progress of a game. That's an issue. And with Dylan, it seems like he sometimes falls into that trap where he's trying to nip at the corner and he's over-pitching, and then all of a sudden, when he's at his pitch count, things just fall apart.
Well, so yesterday we were talking about Tony's not going anywhere, and I've been told by people.
Yeah, and remind everybody, you had a secret source that basically said that lightning would have to strike you and I multiple times.
The odds are better that a lightning will strike you and I maybe multiple times than the odds of Jerry saying to Tony it's time to go. So yesterday, and you said we started talking about what if. Because the Philadelphia Philly players were celebrating so loud, you could hear them in the media room.
Right. It was mutiny.
Yeah. So when you heard Joe Girardi got launched, the players all had a party, right?
Right.
And we talked about we'll take a listen to what the players said last night after they were asked about the fire Tony chance. We just said, what if that scenario happened? And it hasn't happened to this point, and they seem to have La Russa's back and they seem to like him and all that.
I heard that last year. Are we really hearing that now?
So, I mean, and I'm telling you, I was told there is no way, no matter what happens, that Jerry's launching Tony. So even if the fans chant from the first pitch on through nine innings,
it's not going to matter.
And even if the players would start making some noise about it, it's not going to matter. And Tony's like, you know, I'll take the responsibility, even though last night, well, I mean, if you want to talk about how he managed the bullpen or to the point where, as our caller just said, you get to the point where you don't have enough available because of how you use the bullpen in previous games. He's not going anywhere. And so it'll be interesting if the noise continues. Again, the best thing that happens for this team is to go on the road tomorrow.
Yeah, and we talked yesterday. Could Tony get to the point where he realizes he's hit a wall and he goes into Jerry and said, you know what, maybe I'm not the guy. Maybe I can have another position and we can do something else.
What he thinks about that. Because he doesn't strike me as a guy who walks away.
He doesn't, but we can only hope for those who don't want to see Tony managing anymore, because that might be the only option we have. We've got a hit break. We're coming back. Jesse Rogers joins us to talk about baseball on the north side and the south side. Plenty to talk about. This is ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Wow! Way up there. Back goes Hap. It is gone! It brings rain! 23rd for Judge! Crushed on a line. Forget about this one. That is a missile! And it's 2-0 Yankees!
That's one of the fastest home runs I've seen here at Yankee Stadium. And that slider hung right down the middle of the plate, and Stanton crushed it.
Tied for the hardest hit ball in baseball this year. He ties, of course, himself. Hits this one hard. Left center field. Aaron Judge again! It's 24th. The fifth of the night for the Bronx Bombers. High fly ball. Off of the back. Rizzo, he joins the home run party. 6 for the Yankees.
Wow, they needed to cut into the second bucket of balls in the Bronx. ESPN 1000, Xander and Hanley. Jesse Rogers joins us. He's on the way to the makeup chair for tonight's appearance on in a baseball night on ESPN. Right, Jess?
Yes, that is correct. Lots of makeup needed. That's why I'm getting there early.
Hey, right. You know? And you're not wearing your sunglasses, are you?
Well, I am on the drive, of course.
Well, no, you know, I meant on TV.
Even though it's raining.
You wear them on the radio. I would imagine you'd wear them on TV, too.
Yeah, well, I'm wearing them in the rain where, the Cubs can just hope for a rainout at this point. That might be the best outcome for them today. Wow. But I actually think they're going to get it in. There is a window. Yankee fans can get excited. There is a window. They get to play the Cubs for 3 hours today, and we'll see. It can't get any worse than last night, that's for sure, if you're a Cubs.
Well, you know, Jesse, I always say when you go to the ballpark and you were there last night, there's always a possibility you'll see something you've never seen before. We saw Tony La Russa turn a pitcher's count into an intentional walk, and now 6 solo home runs given up by Matt Schwarmer, who was pretty impressive his first two starts. No pitcher's done that since Tom Lee in 1884. Maybe Marquis will bring that game back as filler.
For rain delay today?
I think, Brian, you were covering that game, if I recall.
Absolutely.
But so I was in the stands. Okay, so picture, to the right of home plate, back into the stands there where I have a look right down the third base line. I'm sitting with ESPN's very own Nick Friedel. We're a little bit higher up, but straight down the into left field. And, I mean, Aaron Judge's first home run looked like it got dropped out of the sky. I hate to use military terms. It was like a bomb they dropped out of the sky. Stan's home run looked like a missile.
That was ridiculous.
Missile. And both, what I'm talking about. When you see it from that angle, they were both just amazing.
Was that 120 miles per hour velo?
Yeah.
120.
Yeah, 119. And 119.8, technically.
Yeah, let's round it up.
Which ties Stanton's own record, but
It was a towering line drive, Jess. It was a towering line drive.
It was. It finally was. It finally was a towering line drive. So, and then I said, I've seen enough of this. I went to the press box and saw four more solo home runs. And, you know, boy, Matt Swarmer, I think we have to come up with a new phrase, deer in headlights, because after the game, I don't care.
You felt for him.
Yes. I was about to say, I don't care if you're a cynical reporter or hateful fan. That guy wanted to be anywhere else than talking in front of cameras at Yankee Stadium after giving up a record six solo homers.
That is what you call baptism by fire.
Yeah, 10th pitcher ever to give up six homers, and then just the second to give up six solo home runs. I'm not sure why that matters either way, but it's a rare occurrence. The fact.
Hey, look, the Yankees have 94 home runs. Judge has got 24. You heard the chance of MVP. You know, that's what they do. And as a Cubs fan, all it shows me is how far away this team is in the rebuild that's not supposed to be called a rebuild to being back among the elite. So they get, you know, a rookie pitcher gets his butt kicked. That happens. They do it to a lot of people. But I'm with you, and we'll hear from Matt Swarmer before we get out of here. You felt for the kid. He was humbled, absolutely humbled, and he was there, man enough to be there to answer all the questions. But on the south side of town, arguably that game was worse than the Cubs shellacking because it's a bad Rangers team, you know, erasing a 5-0 lead and a 7-4 lead and winning the game in extras.
Yeah, a couple things about that. You're right about the Rangers. It's actually a good matchup for the White Sox. I mean, you know my feeling. I've been on with you guys enough. You need to win every game where there's a lot of left-handed pitchers throwing against you.
No doubt.
And that's what the Rangers do. And so, boom, you did what you're supposed to do. You got up. You have one of your aces on the mound, and he blew it, and then the bullpen blew it. It's like just a complete wasted game. It's one where you look back. If they lose the division by one, you point to that one more than some others because that is an absolute winnable game because you
we had the offense.
Lefties.
We had the offense. Lefties. Right.
So, look, all this conversation about Tony La Russa, you know, it's not a singular move that gets a manager fired. The Phillies were underachieving. The Angels were sort of underachieving over the course of 2 weeks, and those teams made moves. So it's not like you fire a guy because he you know, intentionally walks someone. You fire a guy over the course of a season when things aren't going the right way for a team that's expected to do more. I'm not saying, you know, it's Tony's fault they lost yesterday. I'm not even saying it's his fault they lost the game. They were already trailing 7-5. It you know, and then gave up the home run. It's the whole thing. It's where are you in the standings right now? Luckily, in a bad division, you're still in the race. But I know that's what everyone's talking about. Should they be firing Tony?
You know,
it's not about one day. It's about the whole thing.
Right, Jesse. Conversely, he's not the one playing. He wasn't the one to drop the relay in that allowed them to tie the game. He wasn't the one that was, lost his stuff in the fifth inning. He wasn't the one that came out of the bullpen. However, he's not Yoán Moncada. Right, he's not Yoán Moncada. He's not Grandal that started hitting, and now all of a sudden he's injured.
Let me just say, all those things you could say about Girardi and Madden, they're not the ones to pitch.
Right, and I was going to get to
it.
Right.
It is the vibe, it is the culture. Like last year, he made mistakes early, didn't know the rules, but they were in first place. Nobody cared. Right. It only matters when you're underachieving, and they're underachieving.
And that is my point. And our old pal Fred Huebner must be listening because he decided to tweet and say managers aren't the problem. He listed all the problems that he thinks, Kimbrel trade and, you know, Grandal and all this stuff. And everything could be considered. But when what happens in Philadelphia happens, how do you explain that? I mean, how do you explain that? If managers don't matter.
I think it's a real indictment on Joe Girardi. Let's start with that.
It seems like it would be.
There's no doubt. I don't want to say I'm on the inside of that, but I know what's going on there, and I know I covered Joe Girardi. Personally, I like him, but there's something missing. He's now been fired by three teams and did win a World Series, though, so we should mention that. But anyway, yes, they do matter. Of course they matter. They matter in all sorts of different ways, And just shaking it up sometimes matters.
Yep.
All of that matters. Having said that, I mean, I think we all agree.
He's probably not going anywhere.
I'll give you one scenario, and it's the Grady Little scenario. You know, Theo had to fire Grady Little back in the day after he left Pedro Martinez in. They lost the playoffs, right? Everyone remembers.
Yep.
Kind of a famous thing. And it's and again, that was one move. I don't think Theo was going to fire him because of one bad baseball decision. Managers make them every day. But it became untenable with the fan base. And I'm not saying people are going to be, you know, knocking on Rick Hahn's door, but now we're seeing, you know, at home, now we're seeing a fan base, you know, the chant is one thing, what's next? Like, if it becomes such a distraction where your own fans are either staying away or doing protests or whatever it is, that's where you might have to pull the trigger. Now, even having said that, Jerry might ignore all of that.
Right.
I'm just Jesse.
He's already ignored the record, okay? He's already ignored the record.
Jesse, I was told by someone in the know, I mean, really close, and that Mark Zander, Jesse Rogers, or Brian Hanley have better odds of getting struck by lightning, maybe even twice, than Jerry firing Tony. And our question to you is, this whole scenario that Tony finds that, you know, the team is suffering because of the chants and the, you know, the home crowd turning on everybody, is he the walk away guy? Would he ever say, you know what, I've got
maybe
to
I'm better because- yeah maybe I'm better maybe you guys would be better off, put me somewhere else, I'll advise, have somebody else run the team?
Highly doubtful, but look, I don't know, because I don't think we've ever seen any scenario like that approach a guy like Tony La Russa, right? So it'd have to be a new thought that pops into his mind. I'm walking away from this in the middle as we underachieve. You know, these guys are competitive. That would be, he'd probably consider himself a quitter if he did that.
Right.
I can't see that happening. If he lost the locker room and he knew he lost the locker room, that'd probably be more likely than the fans booing and stuff. He knows that's wins and losses. You win, you're everyone's favorite guy. So I don't see any sort of scenario outside of something happening in that locker room where he feels he's completely lost it. I mean, we're talking about, you know, 1% chance of any of this kind of stuff happening, right?
But
from
him being fired or walking away. That way, he can spin it that I'm not selfish. I need to do this because I love these guys and they can have a chance to win something. Mm-hmm. And it's best for the team and best for Jerry and everything else.
And it's crazy that he would have to probably talk Jerry into accepting his resignation. Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's more likely at the end of the year that he would just do it. I'm retiring, you know, and not be fired, but actually just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see it mid-season. But we're in uncharted territory a little bit here, right?
Yeah.
So I guess anything's possible. But knowing his personality, knowing the people that know him, I think he's more likely to double down. I'm a competitor. We're going to turn this thing around, especially if they remain within striking distance of the division, which they are.
All right, Jesse, well, thank you. I know you're up against it. You are going to be on ESPN tonight, right?
Baseball Tonight, 5 Central, baseball tonight leading up to Angels and Mets. And, my first time in the studio, so I'm sure we're going to cover Tony La Russa. I'm sure we're going to cover the Yankees onslaught and a whole bunch of other things.
All right, how much makeup are they going to need for you?
Yeah.
See, that's why I'm getting there early.
Yeah, there you go. They said you need to get here early.
You know, you haven't lived till Mike Lederman put powder on your forehead like he did on Sports Fire for me and a few other guys.
Wow. Yeah, I guess I haven't.
Well, it's funny you mentioned all makeup and stuff. They just sent a memo like a week ago. I don't work in Bristol, but I get the memos. And it was like, on-site makeup has returned. And then, coincidentally, they booked me for in-studio a week later. On-site makeup has returned in Bristol, you know, because of the pandemic.
Right.
And then a week later, I'm on. So I guess they were waiting for some.
Yeah, even if they didn't, they would not trust you to do it yourself.
Exactly.
Probably not.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, Jesse.
They'll pile it on. I'll talk to you guys.
All right. We'll see you on TV tonight.
Thanks, okay, man.
Thank you, Jess.
See ya. Bye.
ESPN 1000-312-332-3776. We're talking baseball on the north side, more so the south side, because there's just so much more drama. I'm going to bring up that Twitter poll when we come back, and I'm going to give you the case that I'm making for the Twitter poll at ESPN 1000. And if you want to jump in, you know the number. It's Hanley and Zander on ESPN 1000. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
You can also listen on 100.3 HD2 for a clear signal no matter where, and on the ESPN Chicago app, broadcasting from the First Midwest Bank studio. On a Sunday morning, it's ESPN 1000. Brian Hanley, Mark Zander, and we've got a Twitter poll, Brian. And here's how it goes for the White Sox. Once Tim Anderson comes back healthy and you had a choice as the GM, who would you DFA? Josh Harrison, Leury Garcia, or other don't move them? Have you given any particular thought to this?
Yes, right. And I know we don't offer it, but how about both as an option?
You have to pick one.
Okay, well, if I have to pick one.
Yep.
All right, so Harrison's making $4 million, right? Leury's making 5.5.
We're not worried about the money.
Well, I think the Sox management might be because they just ate $18 million of bad Dallas Keuchel money.
Right.
If you look at the WAR numbers for these two, right? Let's start with Garcia. Offensive WAR, which, you know, you hope for no negative signs in front of it. He's minus 0.7, mm-hmm. which anything under zero is a replaceable player. His defensive WAR, minus 0.2. His offensive runs above replacement, a minus 6. He's replaceable on touch them all, everything. Now, Josh Harrison, also not so good. He's offensive WAR, minus 0.4. Barely above in the positive on defensive 0.1, which makes him a substitute player. And then offensive runs above replacement, he's a minus 3. I can live without either of them. But if I have to pick one, probably, even though the numbers say, you know, go with Leury, I'll probably go with Josh Harrison.
Okay, I'm going to with Leury.
Yeah.
Josh is... you know, at one point he was an everyday player.
Yeah.
He brings a lot of energy. He's the Billy Hamilton of the team this year.
Hey, one time he was an all-star. I mean,
yeah, this is what I'm saying, right? So his slash line looks better than Leury's right now. And I know what you just said, but Leury has been given too much responsibility. That is not his fault.
No,
for some reason, Tony La Russa has fallen in love with Leury. Again, the series on Netflix. Yep. Yep. Is in season 3 or season mm-hmm. 2 actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, yesterday, that turning point, I know it's just not on him, but we've just seen too many things. We've depended on him too much. He's much better asset if he is used 2 to 3 times a week in a full week of baseball. We don't have that luxury right now because of what is happening, transpiring with the injuries and such. But for me, I know we just signed him, but we have made other mistakes. And he is in the lineup today, and Harrison is not. Now, I know he hit yesterday, and it's about damn time, but that misplay in the field has really irked me. And here's a lineup for today. We've got Pollock leading off in left field. He had an error late in the mm-hmm. game.
Yeah.
It's certainly not the one that caused the game, but he had an error, and he's a Gold Glover, so... So the funk is going around and hitting everybody. We've got Andrew Vaughn DHing today, batting second. Robert in center field, batting third. Abreu cleanup at first base. Berger is at third. Moncada's going to get his rest. Hopefully a day will make a difference because he just looks horrible. He looks fine in the field. He's better than Berger in the field, no doubt about that. But the plate is just really, really bad. Engel is in the lineup today in right field, batting sixth, Garcia batting seventh, second base, McGuire catching, and Danny Mendick is batting ninth, the second leadoff hitter, as Tony calls that position. And by the way, Sebi Zavala is up as Grandal. Has he been officially put on the IL?
No, but he's going there.
Yeah,
that's
he
exactly
is.
What's
yeah.
happening.
And that's a shame because he had a pretty good game at the plate yesterday.
You mentioned Danny Mendick, and we were singing his praises yesterday after he had the base running error. The guy is, I mean, he's a grinder. He's doing terrific offensively. You root for a guy like that. Steve Greenberg, who's just the best writer in town, he has a wonderful profile piece on Danny Mendick in the Sun Times today, suntimes.com.
Mm-hmm.
And read that story. And that if you love baseball, you love that baseball story. And you really root for this guy. And I would direct you to do that because it's really well worth a few minutes of your time to read that and see how this guy, he's stuck to it and everyone has written him off time and again, and he's made his own opportunity and right now he's making the best of it.
Yeah, that's a solid recommendation. So if TA came back to the Twitter poll for a second, TA came back and Moncada was holding his own at third, we'd have to find a place for Berger, but second base would be, for me, Mendick with Harrison spelling relief. And Leori is just a very, very, very part-time player. But that's me. 312-332-3776. We're up against the break. We'll come back, talk more baseball, get to the Cubs.
Hey, can we do something fun to lighten the mood, too?
Oh, sure. What's fun?
You know, the other day, someone out on Twitter asked what our first concert, you know, and we both responded.
Oh, yeah, we can do that. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Your first concert, where it was, who you saw.
Yep. And we'll invite everybody else to jump in. Yeah, we'll do that, too. I like that. 312-332-3776. Back in 2 minutes, Hanley and Xander on ESPN 1000.